I work for the Baptist Union of Victoria. It's a new job. I'm still on probation. So please be nice to me, you know, and please pray for me. I've got my probation review on Thursday. So, you know, so I might, you know, we'll see how that goes. But previously I was the director of Coach Community Mentoring. And if you, and just acknowledging Ash and Aaron, who've been mentors, coach mentors, you know, with a tough young person. And you know, Ash, I think you've been with Sindelbaps and, you know, so any other mentors. Just really, really appreciate your time, and your and a mentor is defined as a friend with purpose who draws alongside a young person or a family doing it tough and offers them a mentoring towards a goal, support. And if you're interested in mentoring, I've got a book, Ordinary Mentoring for Extraordinary Transformation. If you're interested in buying that, you can come and see me afterwards. It's $30. We're trying to break even, but I'll sign it for free. So there we go, if you're interested in that. And, yeah, just a little bit of other bit of propaganda. Reimagine Mission Toolkit. We just launched this year, and we're trying to encourage churches, us to reimagine mission. It's a tough world there for a young person or for an adult involved in the community. It's rather hard to talk about Jesus. So this is an initiative called Reimagining Reimagine Mission. How do we do mission in today's context? If you're interested in joining with that, it's free to you because you're all Baptist, so it's free. So that's good. Hey, that's free. Yeah, so you can find out a little bit about that by looking at that card. But I'm a little bit jaded this morning because my dear wife, Laura, some of you might know Laura, she is just, she's very patriotic. So we had to stay up until about midnight watching the coronation, and I wasn't allowed to speak. But my daughter was watching Netflix. I mean, and you know, so we've got a range of sort of, we've got sort of Republicans, one part of the family, and we've got some, my wife is complete monarchist, and I sort of walk in the middle. But last night, so I was up until quite late. But I live in Warneet. Who's heard of Warneet? Has anybody heard of Warneet? Nobody's heard of Warneet. Some people think it's Tarneet. No. Well, Tarneet is over in the west somewhere. Warneet is near Turriddin. You know, if you're going to Phillip Island, we're just tucked in behind Turriddin. And it's, we moved there 4 years because basically I lived in Mitcham and we were renting there and we couldn't afford to buy. So we moved down towards Western Port and Turriddin. We bought a house there and we've been there for about 4 years. And I love meeting people. I just love meeting people and I enjoy socializing and engaging with the community. And so I went into the milk bar and asked the manager of the milk bar, I said, who I now know is a good friend of mine. He said, and I asked him, I said, where do I meet people in Warneet? He said, you've got to go to the yacht club. Friday night's the yacht club. So I rang up and the head of a yacht club is called a Commodore. So I rang up and I met the Commodore and he said, yeah, come down Friday night and we'd love to meet you. And so I rock up Friday night and he said, do you want to become a member? He said, have a beer. And he offered me a beer and I accepted the beer. Is that okay to say that? We're still on probation. So I did accept the beer and he said, do you want to become a member? He said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, I'd love to become a member. He said, just pay your subs over the bar. So pay my subs for my FPOS. I said, is there any paperwork? He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry. I still haven't done the paperwork. Don't worry. So I pay my subs. I become a member of this yacht club. And as the evening went on, I did notice things were getting a little lively. Have I got my slides up there? I'm not sure if they're up there. But things started to get a bit lively. There's the yacht club there. There's my mate Charlie. He's got a calm draft. That's the stable drink, and that's just the other week. And the yacht club there. That's the yacht club. Beautiful spot. And so I noticed my first evening. I noticed things were getting a bit lively. And this group came in from the Turriddin Sports Club, which I now know quite well. And they were looking very lively indeed. And this woman came up to you, she said, you new? And I said, yes, I've just joined tonight. She said, right. She said, right, we're going to arm wrestle. True story. I male ego. I used to play rugby. I said, no problem at all, you know. So she said, right, come over the table. So imagine this is the table. I'll probably destroy that, but imagine this is the table. It's a flat table. She said, right, we're going to arm wrestle. So we start arm wrestling. And I think, well, no problem. I'm going to smash this. Boof. But sure enough, my arm gets thudded into the table. And she goes, welcome to Warney Motor Yacht Club. Now, probably up this way, there are actually some other yacht clubs up, aren't there? Sandringham Yacht Club. Brighton. They speak very posh in Brighton. Brighton Yacht Club. And I wondered if in Brighton Yacht Club or Sandringham Yacht Club, whether they would initiate new members with arm wrestling. Probably not. It's probably how you sip your champagne or something. But yeah, we arm wrestle. So a couple of weeks later, in the yacht club, the Commodore, he rings me up. He said, "Are you like a priest?" And I said, "Well, I'm training to be a pastor. I wasn't ordained at the time. I'm sort of training." And he said, "What you'll do?" I said, "What do you want? What do you need?" Well, he said, "I want you to come and bless the fleet." And I said, "Well, how many yachts have we got?" He was a bit embarrassed. We've got 11 small yachts. And they were out there. You can sort of see them out there in the far distance. And they 11. I don't know anything about blessing the fleet. But you can, you know, Google's fantastic, hey? And you can Google, don't do it now, but if you ever want to bless a fleet, you can Google, and there's a blessing prayer. There's a blessing prayer. You can go, yeah, so I'm Googling this prayer, and I'm going, yeah, this is great. So I rock up, and I did actually, I put a blazer on. And we're out there on the deck, you can see. So we're out there on the deck, and sure enough, all the dignitaries, the council turn up, the local MP turns up. And so I'm glad I've put my blazer on, and I'm just about to stand up. And we're all looking out there, and all the little bloke, you can't see, down the jetty, all the little bloke with the little flags on. It was a lovely day, it was a lovely day like that. All the flags are fluttering. And all the little boats are there, and there's a little platform for me to stand up and do my prayer. But this member comes over to me, and he grabs me by the sleeve, and he said, "Come over here, mate." I said, "Look, I've got my prayer. I've just got about to get up on stage." He said, "No. I need a word. I want you to bless my boat." I said, "Well, I'm going to bless all the boats. I'm going to cover them all." He said, "No, well, 2 years ago, we had the Anglican priest. We had the Anglican priest come down, and one of the members was a bit rude to him because he said, 'I don't want my boat to be blessed.'" And so the Anglican priest said, "Well, I'll try and avoid your boat. I'll try and miss your boat with a blessing." But this guy, I now know his name is Clem, and he's tugged me. He said, "But sure enough, that very same day, do you see out there on the estuary? Down went his boat and sank. And we had to go and rescue him. We had to launch the rescue boat, and there he was, clinging his mast. And he sank right down, and he went down. And luckily he had a life jacket on, but we had to pull him in. So please bless my boat." I said, "Yeah, I'll make sure." You may say, "Was that a true story, Toby?" Well, yeah, I've met the Anglican priest. In fact, I've got a picture of him here. So I'm basically really joined in with the yacht club. We've created a little faith community there called a micro church, which is actually recognised by the Baptist Union of Victoria. It's not very big. That's us there. In the background, the guy with the glasses on, in the blue, he's the Anglican priest. So he said, yeah, it's a true story. It's actually happened. But we've got, it's called the Coastal Villages Faith Community. And we're about 11 strong. And we're in Gympie, and it's hard work. But we've immersed ourselves in the community there. And we go along, we try and reach out to this primarily sort of tradie, retired tradie cohort that's in Warneat and Blindbike, Cannons Creek. But that's what I do when I'm not working at the BEV. I run a little faith community, which I actually love. Yeah, it actually benefits me. That's basically where I live and what I do. But what I want us to do, think about today, I want us just to think about how we become Christ-like followers of Jesus, how Christ-like followers, Christ-like disciples. Because I'm passionate about mission. I love mission. I love going into places like Warneat and doing mission. But actually it starts. It's actually discipleship is the most important thing. And I want to just talk, if that's okay with you, to spend a little bit of time discussing with you this idea of discipleship. Because mission is a bit like this car. Or can be like this car. If we just think about mission without an engine, this car's got an engine. With no engine at all. Basically, if we just go and try and do mission into communities, be it Chadston, Oakley, or wherever you are, without thinking about discipleship, without thinking about how do we become a follower of Jesus, how do we become a disciple of Jesus, then it's a bit like a car that hasn't got an engine. And so I want us to look at how we become Christ-like followers. Because God has really been speaking to me about this idea for some time now. And I know Dave and Chris a little bit. And they're probably fairly passionate about this as well. I know they are, actually. So I hope it's okay if I could just talk about this. So you might ask, well, how do you define a follower of Jesus? How do you define a disciple of Jesus? Well, simply, a follower of Jesus is a Christ-like follower of Jesus is somebody who follows the ways, the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus. So, if you want to remember, you know, if you're out there in the community and you're out there, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you are trying to follow the ways, the words, and the works of Jesus. A lot of my life, I've been a social worker for 30 years. I've now just been ordained. A lot of my activity was around the works of Jesus, which is great. But I love my new job now because I'm able to actually embrace not just the works, which is giving and trying to care and love people just in that sort of physical way, but also the ways of Jesus are around ethics. Are we trying to justice? And the words proclaiming his good news is also really, really important. So that's the definition. And disciples are people who learn to be like Jesus and learn to do what Jesus could do. And discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Yeah. It's a bit of a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. And so I've just got a couple of scriptures I want to share. The first one is from Luke chapter 10. Let me read this with you. I'm going to turn around here. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Mary Mary is engaged in a slower type of spirituality. My daughter's 23. My daughter's 23, and she said, "Dad, I think you've got ADHD. I'm referring you to a psychiatrist." I mean, true. I'm booked in for next month. There's a long referral process, but I'm booked in. I haven't had my formal diagnosis, but she's pretty sure I've got ADHD. And this word distracted, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations. I'm often distracted. How about you? I mean, I think nowadays we are perhaps more distracted than we were in the past. I'm distracted. I'm thinking a million things. And I find it very hard to slow down and be with Jesus. And it's a really tough thing. But it actually starts in terms of being Christ-like or attempting to be Christ, a follower, a disciple. It actually involves slowing down and actually being a little bit like Mary occasionally. Not all the time, you know, because setting up for church, there was lots of activity. Sometimes you can't do this, but it's important to slow down and prioritize being with Jesus over doing. Now, I must confess, the worship this morning was really, really good. But I must confess, even in the worship, I start getting a little, ooh, my mind's gone, ooh. I don't know about you, sometimes, and I'm having to like slow down. Now, this is lovely worship. These people have got up early to do and to lead us, and I'm going to slow down, try and be with you. And then, ooh, my mind goes off, and I'm thinking, I've got to do some repairs, and I've got to go down to Bunnings. Oh, no. This happened this morning. I confess, but it's not actually, you know. I did try and come back, just try and come back and worship. But I'm distracted. I'm a distracted person. But I'm learning to try and slow down, and do maybe. I love getting out there, and I love taking steps for Jesus. And that's part of it, actually, getting out and working for Jesus. But actually, first and foremost, are we going to slow down? Are we going to actually spend time with Jesus? And the big word for this is contemplation. Contemplation is the big word for just being with God. And this is another picture from Warneat. Hey, we have lots of mangroves in Warneat. And they are fantastic plants. So they're a little bit controversial because they're sort of taking over. But they're actually, ecologically, they're really great because there are lots and lots of birds live in the mangroves. Lots and lots of fish grow in the roots. And they are really tough. The reason I like them is that despite the tide twice a day coming in and out, despite the winds and the storms, like yesterday, there was, you know, quite a stormy day. The mangroves are rooted because they've got deep roots. And for us, contemplation is actually putting down deep roots with God, and it's about being with God. Well, you might say, well, that sounds quite complicated. You know, contemplation. You're going to have to do something weird. You know, meditate, hum, or something. You don't actually have to do that. Simply, it's about being with friends. Contemplation is prayer, is the prayer of quiet and nothing else other than an intimate sharing between friends. You can do this anytime. I do it when I'm jogging and running. You can just stop. Jesus, I want to be friends. Please connect with me. And sometimes you feel that connection coming back, that relationship with him. And that can happen. You can be anywhere. You can be in the, you know, university. You can be, you know, rushing in and just needing God with you. You can be commuting. Spend any time. Obviously, the best time is actually when you can actually be still and silent. Because in the Psalms, David says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So it is appropriate to be still, but you can sort of be still and quiet. When I'm walking, there's a little patch in the wood that I walk through where there's nobody else around, and I just note that I'm alone, and I note that the beautiful trees, the path, the sky, and I just try and be still in that moment. Be still and know that I'm God. And because a key to being with Jesus is actually a bit of silence and solitude. Now, my moments of silence and solitude don't last very long because I probably have ADHD.
Yes.
So let's just be frank here. Listen, I'm not sort of some sort of spiritual giant that hums and sits cross-legged. But there are... I can't even sit. I can't sit cross-legged. I never could, you know. It doesn't work. Some people were like, my wife can sort of do all this sort of stretching. I can't do it. It's torture. But I'm sorry, that was a bit of a tangent. But the point being is you don't need to be a super giant. You don't need to be meditating, doing something. But a moment in time. So I try and do this at least twice a day, where just a small time starts 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Bit of silence, turning off. That means me turning off social media, you know, which is hard for me because I have so many followers. and it's resisting. I have about 37 followers. Yeah, I'm excited about that. But it's just resisting all that noise, isn't it? There's a lot of noise going on. And just a bit of time, silence and solitude, and praying that intimate prayer, friendship prayer. This is God. He's our friend. And it's just a reflection, thinking about my emotions. Okay, what's gone on through my day? Oh, I'm feeling a bit anxious about life. What's going on there? Why am I anxious? Oh, I had that discussion at work. Oh, I'm feeling a bit anxious. Do people like me? Those are the anxious thoughts that I have. But I'm going, oh, I'm just going to hand that right over right now to God. Jesus, I just need you right now. I'm not going to worry about whether people like me or not. I'm just going to hand that right over to you because I need you. So I need to be with you because if I'm with you, that everything actually is okay. And God, by his Holy Spirit, can come into our hearts and we can have Jesus in us, in our very hearts. Not out there, but he can come, and that's, you can be rushing into school and you can have a little prayer. Jesus, come, just be in my heart. You can go be rushing into work. Just be in my heart. I'm pleased today. I need you in my heart. Because frankly, I can't really cope without him. And so I need him. I'll need him on Thursday for my probation. I'll need to do a bit of silence and solitude. Because it's not about me, it's about him and allowing him to flow through me. And that takes a bit of time to just be with him. So to be a Christ-like follower, it's about being. I want you to remember, let's say that again, Christ-like followers are about being, okay? Everybody with a being, that's the first thing. secondly, we're going to look at Mark 1 verse 14. Mark, I love Mark. He's very direct in the Gospels, isn't he? Very direct, no fluff. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You may have heard Dave. I know Dave's probably talked to you about this verse because I know Dave's probably keen on this verse. But the word that is used in this verse, the word for time is the Greek. I actually studied Greek, but I got thrown out of Greek. I got kicked out of my Greek class. How long have you got?
Were you distracted?
I was probably very distracted, and I'm a bit dyslexic, so Greek and your dyslexia, doesn't really go too well. So what I would do is I'd cause a disruption in the class to avoid me reading out my Greek verbs. Actually true. That's why I got thrown out. If you want to know, confession. I got thrown. It's a lovely. We had a lovely Greek lecturer, but I didn't want to read Greek, so I did Greek at school. In fact, and I got thrown out. But sometimes the Greek word's helpful, And the word for time in this context is kairos, a kairos moment. And the other word for time in the Greek is chronos, which means that period of time, that journey of, we get chronological, that chronological journey of time. The word that's being used here by Mark is kairos. The moment that the time has come, Jesus is using this word. The time has come to repent and believe good news. And these are kairos moments, a moment in time when God speaks to us directly. My wife is a foster carer. My wife and I are foster carers. And we sometimes have just kids for a weekend, or sometimes we have kids for longer periods of time. But to be frank, about 4 or 5 years ago, we had these two girls, Gemma and Kira, I call them. Two girls, 6 and 4. Basically, I was dragging the chain when they would come. They would come for the weekend. We'd have them a couple of times a month. They'd come for the weekend. And I would hide in my office. One time they were there, and they came in, and I was hiding in my office, and I was watching a Netflix show called The Vikings. Not necessarily recommended. It is history. It was historically quite accurate, actually, that show. And I'm watching the Vikings, and the Vikings are about to storm Paris, which is true. They did storm Paris, and I'm watching Netflix. But I hear on my office door this little knock, and I open the door, and there's Kira. She goes, "Will you come out and play with me outside?" And I said, "No, the Vikings are about to storm Paris." No, I didn't say that. I just stopped and thought, "Oh, what's going on here?" She said, "Please come out and play with me." It wasn't just Kira talking to me. It was a moment in time when God was talking to me. A kairos moment. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here, near. There was a moment in time for me to go outside and to play with Kira in my garden, on the slide, on the swing, and to play, engage with her. And actually, and her sister Gemma, we had a great afternoon playing in the sunlight. Repent, but I repented right then of dragging the chain, of not following, for being lazy, for not, compassion's so inconvenient. For actually putting aside what I should have been doing in that moment, and actually joining in with my wife to care for these kids who'd had a very damaged upbringing, very challenging upbringing. It's good to chat through with what's going on. So I chatted through with Laura. I said to her, "I'm really sorry I've been dragging the chain. I know I have. Really sorry. I'll try not to be." She said, "Well, okay. Next time, buck up," basically. And so next time I did. I got the toys out. I cleaned off the possum poo on the slide. You know, I don't know if that happened. That has a thing in ours, isn't it? The possums everywhere. So I cleaned off the slide, and we had the next Saturday. And sure enough, through COVID, we ended up with my dear wife. She brings in lots of kids, and I'm, who have we got here? Who have we got here? This weekend, and she brings in children. And but now I'm a much better. Thank God, I'm a better foster carer. And I've repented. I'm trying to be better, to join. And the more you give, the more you receive. So it actually benefits me as well, and I enjoy it, and I've got involved in it. But it did require me to stop and obey Jesus. He was calling me and commanding me actually to be a better foster carer. So, what do Christ-like followers do? They're about obeying. Let's say the word obeying. Obeying. This is my neighbour, Patrick. Patrick lives 4 doors down from me. He's a Buddhist. He's a Buddhist atheist, which just sounds a little bit of a don't quite understand that, but he's a lovely guy. Jesus said, the second commandment, the second is this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I had a moment in time, actually a Kairos moment, when I saw Patrick walk past my front gate, and I felt God say to me, you've got to love this guy as you love yourself. Well, I quite like myself. I quite, you know, my own well-being is important. I like, you know, doing things, you know, that benefit myself. I don't, you know, most of us are like that. Not all of us. Sometimes, actually, we don't always love ourselves that well. And that's another separate, that's another whole sermon, actually. Because we do. God does encourage us to love ourselves. It's okay to love ourselves. I have not struggled with that. But the challenge for me, was I going to love Patrick as I love myself? Was I going to love Patrick? And Patrick has a few conspiracy theories. He's somewhat hard to love in some ways. But God said to me, I want you to love him. So basically, I said to Patrick, Patrick, what do you like doing? He said, I love landscaping. I love gardening. I said, that's brilliant. I said, can you come and look at my gardens? You know, give me some advice. So I invited him in, and he came in with some plants. And he said, well, look, I'll take over the gardening. I said, that's brilliant. And he started doing all this landscaping. And he brought these lovely agapanthus on the left. And I said, that's brilliant. And I asked him, where'd you get your inspiration for all your gardening? And he said, Las Vegas. And my wife said, darling, I don't want the garden to look like Las Vegas. What are we going to get? We're going to get some water features and, you know, bright lights. Anyhow, so we moved on to some different strengths. But basically there was conflict. Patrick, he's given me permission to share his story. He's lived in Warnie for 27 years. And he said, I don't know anybody. In fact, I hate my neighbours. Oh, wow. And they really didn't like him. One of the reasons they didn't like him is he had this big engine. You see this engine? It's an engine he had this big engine on his nature strip. And everybody go, oh, that, have you seen that? Seen that engine? Oh, he never gets rid of it. I said, well, Patrick, have you considered getting rid of your engine? It doesn't seem very popular in the community. And he said, no, it's too expensive to get rid of. But again, one morning, just God spoke to me and said, get up, go and bury that engine. So I got up, I went to my shed, I got my pickaxe and my shovel, and I went down to Patrick and I started digging a hole. He came out, he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm burying your engine for you. He said, that's brilliant, mate, thanks. I'll get the truck and we'll tow it into the... Into this hole. I mean, it was 6 foot deep, and it's a Commodore V8 engine. It's quite heavy, yeah, but very heavy engine. So there am I digging in, and our neighbour comes round, and this guy he's called Terry, and he's got a bit of a temper on him, Terry, because if you speed, he shouts at you, and I've seen him shout at other people, and I'm a little bit worried of intimidating. And Terry goes, I hope you're not burying that V8 engine. And Patrick goes, no, we're not. And at that stage, it wasn't actually in the hole, it was next to the hole. Patrick goes, no, we're not. It's a complete lie. And he goes, I hope not. And I'm going like this. And, you know, it's past, you know, lying's not recommended. But I was so intimidated by this guy that I sort of, I wimped out, basically. So we bury the engine. So I said to, but I said to Patrick, what else are you into? He said, I love guitar playing, but I haven't played the guitar for 17 years. I said, I've got a mate of mine, Stephen Lau. Does anybody know Steve Lau? Stephen Emmy Lau from Encounter, not Encounter, your Encounter, from their New Hope. And worship leader. I said, look, I've got a mate, I don't play myself, but I'll get him down. I'll put on a sausage for you. We'll have a barbecue. How about you bring him? He had 17 guitars, but he hadn't played for years. I can't remember how long, but he had 17 guitars. He showed me all these guitars in his back room at his home. I said, bring round one of your guitars down. And they started playing the guitar together. And I, you know, threw in a sausage and gave him a sausage. And he was really good. Patrick was really, we had the Eagles. We had, you know, Fleetwood Mac, and I said to him, mate, I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? He said, I love to play. I used to play live. I said, would you like to play live again? He said, I'd love to. So I rang up my mate, the Commodore. I said, you know, Friday night, how about we have some live music? He said, yeah, it's brilliant. I said, I've got this guy. He's a bit nervous. Can you invite him down? So the Commodore goes and sees him and says, could you come down and sing for us? And there he is now. Because loving your neighbour creates potential. If you get to know your neighbour, if you get the potential for those people to become agents of positive influence and change in their own community. So Friday night, you come down to the Yacht Club. You're all welcome, by the way. We have a lot of social members. And you're welcome to come down. And you'll find Patrick. Until I leave, I've learned to leave by about 9:30. Because after that, after it gets a bit ropey after 9:30, but he'll push on until 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's playing. But not only that, he's actually set up his own guitar lessons, his workshops. He said, you're the guitar man of Warnie. He said, I love that, and he set up a Facebook page. But crucially, he was very isolated, very lonely. He knew nobody. In fact, but now he's actually known as the guitar man of Warnie, and he has 8-10 people come to his class on a Thursday night. And he's got a little band that he's managing, and he's got a sense of purpose. And he comes along every Wednesday to our faith community. In fact, he brings other people down. He's brought more other people down than my Christian friends. Because he said, you're family to me. This is with tears. You have become my family. So loving our neighbor is a key part of being a follower of Jesus. Are you loving your neighbor? Are you loving your friends? Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? That's a challenge. But there's some tips, top tips, Toby's top tips. Prayer walk, start praying walk. Do you know your neighbours? Can you look at your 8 neighbours around your house? Do you know their names? Are you investing in them? Prayer walk around your neighbourhood, just your block. Be interruptible. You know, Patrick wanted me, you know, Jesus was always interrupted, wasn't it? But I don't like being interrupted because I've got a frightfully important job and I'm very, very busy. But actually, no. Be interruptible. Jesus was interrupted. He had a bigger job than mine. A lot bigger. But he was always interrupted. Be interruptible. Remember people's stories. Remember this. It's as important to remember their story as to remember their name. So Patrick's story, he'd played live, he'd been in marketing, he had a friend, Dave, who was dying. Are you remembering their story? Because if you were able to remember their story, you were able to really connect. A lot of people communicate. Maxwell said, John Maxwell, business leader, said a lot of people communicate, but few connect. Remembering somebody's story and reminding them you remember their story is a way of finding a real connection. And you can do this. This is a free tip. You don't have to. You can do this at work. You can do this at college. You can do this at school. That's a free tip for good relational building. Fourthly, ABC, accept people before change. Now, dear Patrick has a lot of conspiracy theories. Sometimes I feel my little, you know, he comes out with all sorts of weird things and a lot about the church. And some of it, frankly, is true. But some of it's not true. But we accept people before change. We show that. That's my simple definition of grace. ABC. Show care. And lastly, pray for people of peace. People of peace, this is a very important idea that Jesus used. He sent out the disciples in Luke. And it's recorded in Luke 10. You can look it up. Luke 10, verse 6, I think. So go find the person of peace in the village. So what is a person of peace? A person of peace is somebody who likes you, listens to you, and serves you. Now, that Patrick is brilliant. He seems to like me. He seems to listen to me mostly. But he serves me. He comes around. He does my landscaping. He fixes my trailer. I've got a boat trailer. He comes and fixes. He's much handier than I am. I'm not very handy. He comes in. And you serve him. I've served him because he now has a family. And I have served him in that way. He's part of that family. There he is. There's in the middle there. That was two weeks ago, that fair photograph. Selfie there. Like a good selfie. But there is. He's connecting. It tears. He is connected. He's got a family. We are his family. Mother Teresa once said, we cannot do great things, but we can only do small things with great love. But we can do small things with great love. So being a Christ-like follower is about this word loving. Are we loving? Everybody say loving. Loving, yeah. Okay, lastly. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19. The last words to the disciples recorded by Matthew. And he's commissioning them to go make disciples. Now, in the West, in Australia and in the UK, where I'm from originally, there's been 70 years of decline of the church. 70 years of decline. And so we actually do need to think about how we make disciples. How do we make disciples who make disciples? I'm on a journey with Patrick. He's not yet at the cross. He will say amen after prayers now. But he's not, I don't think, declared Jesus as Lord. But I'm discipling him before the cross. I'm discipling him. I mean, Jesus spent 3 years with the disciples before the cross, didn't he? 3 years investing in those 12 before the cross. And then through the cross and beyond the cross. We don't just start with sort of four spiritual laws, let's whip them in to church, and they're going to say yes, and then we start discipling. No. We decide, you know, before. And God is using this time with Patrick and other people I'm engaged in to actually shift them spiritually, shift them closer to the cross. And then, actually, it's not up to me at all. It takes the pressure off. I've got a relationship, but God's the actual one who's going to actually help them confess and turn towards him. So my gentle challenge to you, who are your neighbours? Are you loving in them? Are you building a relationship with them? Maybe at college, maybe at work, could be a work thing. You know, I've got a friend of mine, Matt, he runs a church on his lunch break, a micro church on his lunch break in a factory. Yeah, with those tradies who wouldn't come to church, but he has an hour once a week and he puts on food and he has a very simple church. He's making disciples. That's just down the road in Frankston. It's a new micro church that's popped up. Are you thinking about your work, your college, your neighbours? Are you thinking, how can I engage with them? How can I understand their story? It starts with building that relationship, that connection, identifying people of peace, a person of peace who likes you, listens to you. And you might invite them to actually come into an Alpha course. You might invite them to read the Bible with you. There are all sorts of ways. And if you want to know more, you can find out. We've got some tips. We can help you with equipping you if you need that. I'm sure Dave and the team can help you with the ways. There will be ways that Encounter do it that are different to the ways that we do it in Walneat, which seems to involve sort of beer and Friday night. But that's the sort of that's my sort of funnel to engage with people, to identify who is the person of peace. Not everybody's the person of peace. The Commodore, I thought, was the person of peace, but he seems to like me. He seems to listen to. He serves me, but he doesn't listen to me. So actually, I've got a little bit better discerning who's the person of peace. Patrick is a person of peace. Because we need to be making. Everybody say making. Making. Making disciples. And so if you want to remember that, there's a little acronym, BOLD. We need to be bolder. We need to be bold in terms of following Jesus. And that's about being. Maybe I don't know if you're able to come up and just close us off. So I'd love to pray for you, if that's okay. But it's about being that silence and solitude, having a moment in time where you're investing in that relationship with Jesus. It's about obeying that kairos moment. Are you hearing his voice, and are you actually doing something about it? I had to become a half-decent foster carer because I was dragging the chain. But God had a better news for me. He had good news for me. Repent and believe. The good news was running in the sunshine, playing with those kids. Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? And are you making disciples? Yeah, maybe just want to close your eyes. Just, or maybe if you're comfortable, just open your palms just to receive. I'd love to pray for you. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for this lovely church, from Counter Church, your people here. Thank you for the warm welcome that they offered me, and for their faithfulness with the building fund. There's an incredible building that almost a miracle, it seems. So just, thank you for the people here, Lord. Just pray that you'd be speaking to them, you'd be leading them on how to come closer to you, how to spend time with you, Lord Jesus, to hear you, to obey you, to love people more, to make disciples wherever they might be. So just come and ask for a special blessing upon every member here, every person here, every individual here, young or old, a big blessing by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus.